Father, in the name of Jesus, we come. Glory to God. You're the only one, Lord, that can feel even our thirsty souls. Feel our thirsty souls, O Lord, today with the presence of the Lord, the fire of God. Let it kindle and rekindle in our hearts. In Jesus' name, the entrance, Lord, of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that that light will shine even here this morning to our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. The deep calls unto the deep and thirsty for God. You know, from the beginning, as we read the account in Genesis, after that God formed the man, we're told, from the dust of the earth, and he poured into him the Spirit of God. He breathed into the man the breath of God, carried the Spirit of God. And from that point on, the man and his soul and everything was composed of a need for God. And when that Spirit of God is not there, like God intended it from the beginning, you know, there is a void, sort of. We're told in Genesis 2 and 7 that the Lord formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. And that soul, till today, needs that breath from God again and again and again. And if it doesn't have it, it's a dry land. It's a parched land at best. Ah, Lord, may we experience anew the breath of his nostrils, the breath of life given unto us this day in the form of the Holy Spirit fire. That's right. John the Baptist made this declaration. He said in Matthew chapter 3, he began to talk to the people, you know, from verse 11 and so on. He said, look, there is someone among you, you know, something that I'm doing, but he will do something different. I indeed baptize you with water, he said, Matthew 3 and 11. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Ha! Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so we need that Holy Ghost and fire. We need that fire. Again, I remember when we started this room, the Lord called out a few things that he wanted us to do. He said, and we read it out of, and for weeks we read it and talked about it, you know, day after day, day after day, day after day, we talked about it to get our hearts situated. According to Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. That's a commandment to the priests. And this is the law, he said. Hallelujah. That we should do. He said, put the fire upon the altar, it shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood in it every morning. shall not be put out. And the fire shall be laid, the wood shall be laid in order upon the altar, and set the fire on it. Every morning, reignite that fire, he said. Shall never be go out. Must never go out. Burn wood on it every morning. And all of that, was depicting this fire that must be in us. Hallelujah. That should not be put out. Praise God. I want you to pay attention to these scriptures that we're going to read this morning. We're going to start here in the book of Psalms 42. That's where this text of deep calls unto the deep. That's actually where it is in the Bible. But let's take a look at some of the things that the psalmist also said in that chapter 42 of the Psalms. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panted my heart after thee, O God. What does that mean? I'm sure being around in the wilderness with the sheep and so forth, seeing, the animals come to, looking for water, a place to drink, and so forth. He talked about the heart, panting after the water brooks, just looking. Need to have some water. They're so, he said, look, these animals are thirsty. They're famished. And then he talked about his own soul. He said, just like that, my soul is also famished. And I need something. He said, well, I'm thirsty for God. Listen to it. Let's read it together, because this is where the lesson is today. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's a question that he asked. When shall I come and appear before God? Well, we can also turn the question around and say, when shall the living presence of God be made manifest in my life again? Now, the deep, calling unto the deep, is that the deep things of God call unto the deepest part of your soul, and vice versa. The deepest part of your soul is yearning out for the deep things of God. And the more we yearn for the Lord, the more that the Lord will satisfy our soul. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, what does it mean to hunger and to thirst after righteousness? And how is it that we will be filled? Filled with what? Well, it means filled with that righteousness that you're hungering after. Praise the Lord. Jesus talking on that mount that day, that we call it the mount, the Sermon on the Mount, or whatever people refer to it. He called out a few things. Wanted us to have this fire. Wanted us to have this hunger in us. Blessed that day which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said. They shall be filled. Going back to our text this morning from Psalms 42. Let's read a few more things that the psalmist said. as he cried out before the Lord. We don't know the exact setting of this psalm, the circumstances under which he wrote it. We can guess, but we don't know exactly. But here are some other things that he said. He said, "My tears been my meat day and night. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things." See, he always knows where to go. "I pour out my soul in me. I've gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God." He always loved to go to the house of God. In fact, he said, you know, "I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord." But yet, while he was there, he said, "Look, I went to the house of God with them that kept holy day." You know, some people say, well, it's holy day, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know, so he went. He said, "With a joy, the voice of joy and praise." But yet, while he was there, there was a burden and a longing in his heart. There's different ways we can look at this. We can look at it from the perspective of some of the things that he was going through and how he encouraged himself in the Lord. But I want to look at it from a different perspective today. I want to look at it from the perspective of, look, this man has gone to the house of the Lord. They're there, the praisers and singers, they're shouting the victory and praising the Lord. But yet he feels within his heart that something is missing. And there's something still missing. There's something that he's still longing for. It's there, but there's something else that he needs. You know, one time, a young ruler came to Jesus and asked him some questions. Another one came and asked him some questions. And so one of them said, "Look, you know, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments. Do this, do that, and the other." And he said, "Well, these things I've done and kept since my youth and up." And the Lord said, "Well, that's good." And the Lord actually looked at him, looked at his heart. And he said, "Yeah, that's good. You've done that. Yet thou lackest one thing." See, there was one thing, just one thing that was keeping him back from being all in. In his particular case, it was a dependency on his riches. He was a rich young man, had a lot of riches. You know, he was keeping the commandments and doing well, but part of his heart was set on those riches. His heart was not completely set on God. And the Lord looked in his heart and saw it and told him what he needed to do. You know, how to disengage himself. He disengaged his heart, you know, from looking at those and thinking about those riches, you know. "Sell the things, give them away, come and follow me," he said. The man went away sorrowful. Well, Sammy said, "I was in the house of God, yet I lacked one thing. When shall, you know, I mean, I want my soul to get this." He said, look, he always wanted to go into the presence of God. "When shall I come and appear before God?" He got there. He'll go there anyway. And when he got there, there was still a void. There was something that was still going on that he needed. Well, so finally he said, look, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Come on now. You know, began to encourage himself. He said, look, "Oh my God, my soul's cast down within me." See, there's only one thing that can fill that soul and elevate that soul. It's the spirit and presence of God, like it was from the beginning. And he's now said, look, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water sprouts." Nobody ever knew what this really meant, you know, because he didn't explain it, just put it out there. "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me," he said, "the Lord will command his loving kindness for me in the daytime and so forth. You know, but when we examine this phrase, it's a kind of poetic phrase. When we examine it, we can see that, look, there is a yearning that brings forth a fulfillment. Jesus said it himself. When you yearn and thirst after the things of God, you will be filled. Well, let's look at some more yearnings and thirstings that this psalmist expressed from time to time. And let's see if the intensity that is in our hearts for God can match some of his. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I mean, he's always crying out, my soul longeth for thee, my flesh even longeth for thee. I want to see thy power and thy glory, he said. Hallelujah. Even I've seen it in this sanctuary, I want to see it. Because thy loving kindness, better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. Hallelujah, with marrow and fatness. Well, the only way that his soul is going to be satisfied is by crying out to God, my soul thirsted for thee. But he also knows that the Lord is able to satisfy that thirst. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I mean, whether he's on his bed, wherever he is, say, look, I will meditate even in the night watches. There's something, you know, that is crying out of God, to God always in his heart. He said, look, you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Hallelujah. And my soul followeth hard after thee. Hallelujah. And thy right hand upholdeth me. Can you say this morning or afternoon, wherever you are, that your soul is following hard after the Lord, that your soul is panting for the Lord? And there is nothing else that can satisfy. God gives us good things richly to enjoy and so forth. He openeth his hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. But there is one desire that his hand cannot satisfy. It will take the very face of God. It will take the very spirit of God. You know, the expression God's hand is like, you know, the blessings that he dishes out. But there's something more. It's called the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's something about the Spirit of God that our soul is thirsting after. Sometimes people don't really know what they are thirsting after. There's something, find as a void. Well, it's the presence of God. It's the only thing that can satisfy. You know, listen to this in Psalm 84. See how this man continues to cry out to the Lord. Let's check this out in Psalm 84. Here's what he said. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crying out for the living God. Now, that's some desire for God. No wonder the Lord said, a man after my own heart. You know, his heart, his soul, even his flesh wants more of God. I want God, he said. You know, nothing would satisfy him. He said, look, wherever I am, I'm always thinking. You know, the tabernacles of the Lord back in the day was what they used to represent the presence of God, the abiding presence of God, you know, and today for us, that is the revealed presence of God, because his presence is everywhere. I mean, Psalm 139 says, look, that presence is everywhere. He said, look, even if I go down to the grave or go down to this place, Sheol or whatever, I can't get away. The Lord is, you can see me everywhere, you know. But then again, it says, you know, in Psalm 16, he said, look, in thy presence, there's a different kind of presence he's talking about here. He said, look, thou wilt show me the path of life. Psalm 16 and verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What kind of presence is he talking about here? Is this the presence that is with him everywhere, all over the face of the earth? Even, he said, even in hell, I can't get away. You can see me there. No matter where I am, in the corner, hiding, whatever. He said, Lord, find me out. And if his presence is everywhere, then why is there not fullness of joy everywhere? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Well, this particular presence is the one that comes from thirsting and crying out to God. The one that his soul and even his flesh is longing after. I mean, he's gotten to a point where if he doesn't have God, he, you know, it's like he's starving. You know? You know how our body craves, you know, sometimes, you know, through habit, not necessarily that we need it, but through habit, your body will crave for certain things. You know, our body even craves for food. Not that you need that food. I mean, it's not like, I mean, some people after 2 hours of not eating and they ate 2 hours ago, 2 hours later, they're already craving for some food. You know, I mean, sometimes there may be a medical condition, but you know, just talking generally. You know, if you are craving for food like that, 3-4 hours you're craving for it. It's not that you need that food. I mean, people scientifically have been learned that you can't even starve, you know, for at least about 10 days, you know, even if you didn't have food. I mean, people have been known to go for without food and water, even for 40 days in the Bible, you know, but after a few hours, you begin to yearn for that thing. It's out of habit, really. It's not really. It's habitual hunger, habitual longing. It's really what it is. It's not that your body really needs it, but a habit. And this man, he has become habitually, you know, thirsting and hungering for God. It's just, he can't go a few hours. He said, look, 7 times a day, I'll come back. He can't, you know, when he goes a few hours and he can't, you know, feel that moving, that presence, he comes back. My soul is crying out for God. Now, some of us can go for days without crying out for God. Wow. You know, well, sometimes, and then when some bad thing happens, then we cry out to God. And so maybe God sometimes allows that, you know, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. He said, the Lord allows that prosperity and adversity side by side so that your soul will only cry out to God and nothing after him. That's what Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 says. He said, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. In the day of adversity, consider. For the Lord has set the one over against the other to the end. A man should find or seek nothing but God. So, but we don't need to wait for adversity to drive us to God. You know, you can do like the psalmist. He can go, he can only go so long without that fire in his bones. And initially, you know, he start out and say, yeah, you know, I got plenty. And then he finds out that, you know, all the things around him, the worries and the people and so forth, drain that. And he got to come back, see, to the Lord. And he's got to come back to crying out for God. See all these places in the Bible, in the Psalms, that he talks about how he cries out to God. And that's what we are talking about today. My soul crying out for God, longing for God. This is more than just some religious posture where we just, you know, gather. And he said, look, I went with them. I gathered with them, but there was something missing, you know, so he knew it. He said, look, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Psalm 84 and verse 4. Well, I call it thy presence. Blessed are they that dwell in thy presence. They will be still praising thee. Be still and know that I am God. There is some calmness, some rest that will come to them when they're in that place and that presence of the Lord. You know, we've been talking about rest. We've been talking about the ways of entering into his rest. Well, this is it. This is another way right here. The soul thirsting out is something that's missing. It's something that, you know, it's a longing, can only be satisfied by his presence. And that rest and the stillness and the calmness and the quietness will come in praising the Lord in his presence. Hallelujah. Well, let's read a few more things. You know, how this man enjoyed the presence of God. He also enjoyed the word of God too. You know, because when you are in his presence, you must hear that word. We also heard about the word of God a few days ago and how, you know, we can enjoy it and all the benefits that it brings to us. The word of God can stir up that hunger, just like we're reading the word of God now, looking at all the ways that David was crying out to God. It's the word of God. We're reading it. Word of God stirs up that hunger in us. I mean, you know, let's look at Psalm 119. We look at verses 81 and 82 and see how he calls it out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this book of Psalm 119, the whole book or the whole chapter, you know, so many different, the longest in that Bible, it's all of it is about the word of God from start to finish. That's all it is. He said, my soul fainted for thy salvation. Psalm 119, verse 81, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word. See, he's got to have that word and he's got to have that presence. When will thou comfort me? Well, you find that comfort in the word, in quietness and in returning. And he said, you know, effect of righteousness will be there in the word of God. He said, look, I'm going through a lot, you know, but I will never forget thy statutes. Hallelujah. He's always after that word, the word of God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit combined. These are the things that can truly satisfy us. Psalm 130 and verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. This is it. You know, my soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And do you know the best example of that is little children? You know, when you promise them a trip in the morning to, you know, one of their most exciting, I mean, one of the places they're excited, most excited about, you know, their favorite places. You promise them that trip in the morning, they won't sleep. All night, you know, they'll come. They will come and wake you in the night. You know, is it morning yet? Is it time to go? Because they're thinking about that thing. He said, well, I'll take you there, you know, in the morning. Well, they're going to come before that morning. They're watching for that morning. They'll come there. They'll ask you, is it time? Can we go yet? He said, can we go? You know, I know my grandkids are like that. They come over and say, well, I'm going to take you to, you know, this place where you jump up and down, you know, and they say, well, and then when they come, say, is it time to go yet? Can we go now? Is it time? And they're looking. If you give them a time, you better believe it. They'll be looking at that time. You know, that's how they watch for the morning. They're watching for it. Well, does our soul watch for the Lord like that? Are we hungering and thirsting for the Lord like that? You know, and his word. I mean, what does the word of God mean to us? Psalm 119, you know, verse 162. 176 verses in this long chapter. And yet, every one of those verses is about, you know, the word of God somehow. In this one, he says, look, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Can you believe it? Now, that's a verse that we should meditate upon. I mean, great spoil. You come into treasure. You come into some, you know, big gains and so forth. You know, I mean, can your heart rejoice every time you find the word of God is, you know, kind of like that? Some people that win the lottery, I don't believe the children of God should be playing the lottery, but I'm just using as a metaphor here. You know, how they rejoice and over that and so on. But this man said, look, my soul rejoiceth in thy word. Like as though I found a great spoil, that's not made great catch of something. That's how his soul is rejoicing. My goodness. This is somebody that knows that word. The word is what actually helps him. Every time he's down, you know, he said, in thy word, I hope. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, also in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Now, this Jeremiah man, he put out this lesson here in a different way too. He said, look, thy words were found and I did eat them. This is Jeremiah 15 and 16. And he said, thy word was unto me the rejoicing and the joy of my heart. Hallelujah. Now, is that the way that the word of God is to you? I mean, when you find it, it's like you eat it. I mean, if you are hungry, you eat some food. Well, this man's soul was hungry, but he's looking for the word of God to eat. There are actually scripture nuggets that you can snack on all day long. You know, scripture snacks. That's right. You know, feed your soul with the word of God all day long. You spark that fire, rekindle that flame. And that's what the psalmist and both Jeremiah are saying here, rejoicing at his word. Praise God. You know, and Jeremiah also went on to say something here about, you know, how that we must seek the Lord with all of our heart. He said in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, he said, and ye shall seek me. He was reporting the word of the Lord, speaking on behalf of God. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's how you find the Lord. And I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. But you must seek me with all your heart. I mean, we must long for that presence. There is a promise of satisfying our soul. You know, when you cry unto God, there's a promise that he will show you great and mighty things, which you know not. The same Jeremiah, he said the same thing. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 said, call upon me. He was always reporting the word of God. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things, which you know not. If you find that there is something missing, there is a void, then we need to cry out unto God. You call unto me and said, I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. If your soul is flat, there is nothing, you know, that makes you feel like you want more of God. Or perhaps it is time to examine whether we be still in the faith. You know, if you are in that situation, you know, perhaps the cares of this world or the love of the world has taken over. You know, and that's the reason why there is no hunger and no thirsty. Love not the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Neither the things that are in the world, you know, for any man that loves the world, I mean, your heart is after the things of the world. He said the love of God is not in such a person. That's why they are not yearning for God. The only thing they're yearning for are the things of the world. And for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world will pass away. You say, "Yo, that will only take you only so far. It's not getting you anywhere because it's all going to pass away. The lust and all of that. But if you do the will of God, you will abide forever." Now, so if we find that there is no hunger, there is no thirsting in our soul again after God, perhaps it is because our hearts have gone after the things of the world. Maybe that's why. Let your affections, Colossians chapter 3 tells us, be set on things of God rather than on things of the world. Think about things that are up where Christ sitteth. And set your affection on those things and not on the things of the earth. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you be risen with Christ, then think about the things where Christ is set after his resurrection. Think about those things. Get your hearts away from the things of the world. You know, Psalms 107 verse 9, he has some promises if we know how to cry out to God. The psalmist, when he cried out to God, he always come back and tell himself that, look, the Lord is going to fulfill and the Lord is going to satisfy, you know, my longing soul. Psalm 107 verse 9, for the Lord satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Well, you know, this longing soul, they're not longing just for, you know, material things only. There is a deep call inside their heart for the things of God. Deep calleth unto deep. Oh, he lamented, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, because he satisfied the longing soul. Psalm 107 verses 8 and 9. And filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Praise the Lord. Now, the more we seek God out, the greater the chances that our soul will be filled with the things of God. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come to the fountain of living waters. That's right. Come ye and buy and eat, and come and buy wine and milk without price and without money. Come to the fountain of living waters. And when we fail to come and we seek after other things, well, this same Jeremiah again, he called it out. He said, my people have committed two evils. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. For they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Are you bringing your cup that he may fill it? He's the fountain of living waters. But instead of seeking after me, who is the very fountain of living waters, they've hewn out to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold any water. That's what they are seeking after. Instead of coming to me, the fountain of living waters. So, we're mixing this with encouragement and also rebuke and also exhortation of what we must do, how our hearts must yearn after the things of God to drink from the fountain of living waters and not just, you know, the things of the world. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, there's a promise that when you are thirsty, the Lord said, I will pour out, you know, upon him that is thirsty. I'm going to pour something out. Yeah, this is what we are really looking for. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. And I'll pour floods upon the dry ground. You know, it's talking about the Spirit of God. I will pour out my Spirit upon your seed. And my blessing upon your offspring. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows among the water courses. You know, this is the promise of God. When we are seeking out God, he said, I will pour out something for you. That's right. Your soul is thirsty. Well, I'm going to pour out something on you. Not just give you, you know, drizzles here and there. I'm going to give you a deluge. Hallelujah. But to get that, we must really be all in. We must really go all in seeking the Lord. You know, we must seek him with all of our hearts. Jesus always teaching the people that to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things will be added unto you. Let's talk some more about the thirst that and how Jesus, the Spirit of God, can quench that thirst. Revelation 21 and verse 6. And he said unto him, to me, it is done. Hallelujah. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, but that's the one that's thirsting after God. But most of the time, the people are forsaking the true fountain of living waters. According to Jeremiah, I said, look, they've sought out cisterns that hold no water. They're going after things that cannot satisfy their soul. But unto him that is athirst, saith the Lord, will I give of the fountain of living waters freely. Come freely, he said. I give it to you too. Praise God. Now this fountain of living waters, only the Lord is the source of that. We can't get it anywhere else. And when your soul is thirsting, Revelation 22 and verse 17, you can see that we started in Genesis 2 verse 7. And now we're at the end of the book in Revelation 22. And he's still talking about it. It's still one way only that your soul can be satisfied. The Spirit and the Bride say, Revelation 22 and 17, come. And let him that hear it say, come, come now, hallelujah, come to the fountain of living waters. And let him that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. At the end of the book, he's still talking about it. It's the only one way that our soul can be satisfied is from the fountain of living waters. The heart panteth after the water brooks, he said. Well, so panteth my heart also after the fountain of living waters. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? Well, the man couldn't wait. You know, every time he wanted to go into the house of the Lord. But for us today, the presence of God is tabernacled in us. If we yield to the Spirit of the Lord, he said, then shall we know. If we follow on to know the Lord, then shall we know the glory of God and experience it. Praise the Lord. So the Lord, he's calling for us to return. And we listened to that song at the beginning that said, take me back to the place where I once knew you. Help me, Lord, to experience again that joy of salvation. Praise the Lord. Well, let's not just be satisfied with the status quo. The status quo is, well, the way things are. That's status quo. Some people are, some people are not. There was a man called Gideon in the book of Judges chapter 6. He was not satisfied with the status quo. You know, I mean, he had heard about a number of things, you know, miracles and different things that the Lord did, but they really were not getting any time of rest because they had to hide from the Midianites. And they were threshing their wheat. They had to go do it in the corner because the Midianites would wait until they finished doing all the work and then come in and oppress them and bully them and get it from them. And so they had to hide. They were always hiding to do it. And so this Gideon man, one day they were doing that. And so the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, ah, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. So he looks around and say, who's he talking to? I'm the only one here. Surely he's not talking to me in this condition where I'm hiding in the corner and telling him the Lord is with me. You know, if the Lord be with me, he said, and if the Lord be with us, well, I'm not satisfied with my condition. Why do I got to hide? If the Lord truly be with me, and where be all those miracles that we have heard? That was said, how the Lord parted the Red Sea and did all these great things. And he began to challenge the man that spoke with him. He said, well, you know, I'm not satisfied with the status quo. And the angel of the Lord said, wow, I can use that fire. I love that. I can use that. You know, this man, he wasn't satisfied with the status. A lot of people are satisfied with status quo. So, you know, go to church once on Sundays or whatever, you know. Read the Bible sometimes, pray sometimes, whatever. Status quo. You know, things continue the way they were. You know, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue the way they were. There's really nothing new that is happening. But we're satisfied. You know, we're satisfied even though there's nothing new. I mean, shouldn't we be crying out for something new? Show me something new, Lord. Do something new in my life. I want to see, he said, look, I want to experience God that I've seen in the sanctuary, the psalmist said. I want to experience his glory. I want to experience his power again and again. You know, there was a fire that was in you, you know, especially when you first gave your life to the Lord, especially those who came, you know, from the land of, you know, dark sin. When you turn around to God, you are on fire. Oh God, well, where is that fire at today? Are you still on fire the same way as you were then? If so, well, praise the Lord. If not, then we need to get that fire back. You know, and Joshua wasn't satisfied. The salutation came to him that he was a great man. I said, great what? You know, I don't see any greatness. I don't see any power happening. All we heard was testimonies from our fathers. I don't see anything happening in our time. And he was grieved. He wasn't satisfied. The status quo. And the Lord said, yes, I can do that. Glory to God. Well, will you be willing to cry out again to the Lord? You know, Psalm 110, you know, and verse 3. Many things, many secrets in these Psalms about trusting and getting the power of God. And how do you do it? Well, in this place he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And this was one of the other verses the Lord gave us when we started this platform. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, you know, I will come out in the morning and command the glory of God for us for the day. You know, so that has a dew of youth. When you're doing it daily, it renews even your youth like that. But he said, look, are you going to be willing in the day of his power? Wow. What is the day of his power? Saith the Spirit of God. Am I a God that is afar off and not even a God that is near? You know, people are always talking about great things in the past and great things that the Lord is going to do in the future. Well, what about now, saith the Lord? What about now? You know, we read of miracles in the Bible. And we talk about great revivals that are coming. But what about now? And did you know that, you know, many of the same people, the scribes, they knew how Christ was coming. They knew, they've read Micah. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, but thou Bethlehem, O Ephrathah, though thou be smallest among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that will be governor among my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. They knew it. In fact, you know, when Herod, when he asked, he said, look, where would the Christ be born? They knew it. They quoted it. They knew all these things that he would do it, but when he came, they missed it. You know, I mean, people are always talking about the great things of God that God's going to do. But when he's doing it, let's be sure that we don't actually miss it, because it's happening already. It's gathering momentum. It's a gathering storm. You know, it's not coming all at once just yet. Starts out like a cloud the size of a man's hand. But as Elijah continued to pray, he said, go out and check it out again. The man said, well, at first he said, I see nothing. He said, well, I know it's coming because he told me. Check it out. Did it seven times. And finally, seven times, he said, yeah, I see something, but, you know, it's nothing at all. It just looks like, you know, I can see a cloud rising out of the horizon. You know, it looks like it's just so small. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it right there. So you may start out at looking at like something small. Who has despised the day of small things, saith the Lord. These be the eyes of God. You know, you think, oh, the small things and so forth. The blade that starts out when you plant that seed, Jesus said, you know, the corn, when they put in the seed, he said first, you know, it looks like nothing at first. It dies actually. And for a few days, you don't see anything. But don't worry about it. He said, it's coming. The earth will bring forth of itself. But first, it's a blade, a little blade. It just looks like grass. When it starts out, it's nothing. It doesn't look like anything at all. But enough time passes, that small thing begins to grow into, you know, the air. And it begins to come, my goodness. And then a full corn. So it's a process. Daniel talked about it as well. We read it yesterday. You know, a stone cut out with a, you know, from the mountain without hands, the little thing at first, but then he went to fill the whole earth. Well, that yearning that is in your heart, it's that stone. It's that little cloud. It's there. The only way to get it to fill not only your heart, but fill every fiber in your bone is for you to cry out to God. My flesh thirsteth for the living God. My soul cried out for God. Deep is calling out unto deep. Glory to God. And these are the things that we must do. The Lord has promised many things for us if we know how to seek him. You know, seek him that maketh the stars and the Arcturus and the Pleiades and all the great things that are in the skies. He made them by his word. Seek him who alone doeth great wonders. Let your heart pant after him like the water, heart panted after the water brooks. Let your heart also pant after the Lord. Glory to God. You know, the Lord, he rebuked the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He said, yeah, you've done some good things and so forth, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Because you have lost your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and repent. And do the first works. Or else, I will come unto you quickly and remove your candlestick from its place, except thou repent. Now, this is why we played that song at the beginning. Take me back, Lord, to the place where I first received you. And Jesus said, now these people, they were doing some good stuff. They actually had discernment to discern false apostles and different things and so on. But there was something, yet there lacketh one thing. There was something lacking, that first love, whatever that was. What is your first love? Or what was your first love? What was the thing, you know, when you started out this journey with God, this relationship, when the Lord found you and you found his grace too, something sparked in you. Nobody could shut you up. You couldn't put down that Bible. I mean, you couldn't wait to get into some prayer meeting and so on and so forth. Where is that fire at now? Is that the same way today? Or getting into his presence now has become a drag? You know, we go through the whole day. And thank God for this platform. So you can start the day out by giving 2 or 3 hours of your day. That's like 10% right there. If you spend 2.4 hours in his presence in the morning, that's 10% of your day right there. You've tithed the you've tithed a portion of your day to the Lord. You know, but if we go through the whole day and at the end of the day, it's only when we remember to thank him or whatever. And then we'll get so tired, you know, and then we can't even do it. Well, the Lord wants to be first place, not last place. And I know some of you, it may be morning. I mean, maybe afternoon for you rather than morning, this platform, but you got to find your own niche. In the morning, you got to do it. Can't wait until evening or afternoon only. You got to do it. In the, say, in the womb of the morning, Psalm 110, you know, the verse 3 that we read, in the womb of the morning, that's when you do it, you know, and that's how to get the dew of you. Call out upon him. You got to do it. Start the day right. And bring fire. I mean, bring the wood. Crank up the fire. Lay it upon the altar every morning. That's what he said in Leviticus. And when you do that, set your heart in order for the Lord. And you know, there's something that is missing. It's something that we're looking for. I have been in the house of God many times, and we're going again in a few hours. And yeah, you know, sometimes we're there, we're shouting the victory, we're shouting the praise, and it's all good. And praise team, they're doing an excellent job, good word, and different things, and so forth. But yet, there's something that's missing. No matter how sweet the service has been, and how thick the presence of God has been, I am yet to experience, you know, something. You know, I mean, there is a experience that they experienced. We talked about it in, you know, Second Chronicles, you know, chapter 5. They talked about something, you know, praising the Lord, doing something, you know, when they were all in unity, singers, you know, the praising of the Lord. Let's read it together. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, even came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising the Lord. And even, you know, these days we have beautiful praise team, wonderful, they know how to do it. But most of the time, you know, people think of them as entertainers. And they themselves sometimes think of themselves as entertainers, you know, and instead of everybody getting into it all at once and want to make one sound to be heard before the Lord, praise team is singing over here, somebody's checking out their phone over here, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, it's not going to work. You know, but when they can make it to come to have one sound, Second Chronicles 5 and 13, it came even to pass as the singers, the praise team, and the crowd, the congregation, everybody were able to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. All of them in unity, oneness. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, the cymbals, the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, but they made one sound. Everybody was right there in the same rhythm. Same. Everybody right there. Flowing together. It came to pass as they began to say, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. It came to pass that even the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Glory to God. Even the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not even stand to minister. I am yet to experience that. You know, I'd like to be blown away one day, you know, when the praise is so united, standing right there, trying to get up on stage and be blown away completely and not be able to stand. They could not even stand to praise the Lord. I know this is a virtual gathering here. You know, we're not, you know, like in the house and so forth. So this is why you cannot, some people don't like to go to their local churches anymore because of, oh, I found a platform where I can go. It's not the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just tell it to you right now. You know, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship from house to house and also in the temple. You can't take that temple part away. You know, they went there, you know, and so forth in Jerusalem. They did. You know, that place, it was a synagogue. It wasn't always a temple. You know, come together house to house, but then they gather together again. You can't do it any other way. You know, clubhouse is great and we thank God for it. But don't say because of that, well, you know, I've already had 2 hours of fellowship, so I don't need to go down to the house of the Lord today. Well, you might miss out on something. You know, I mean, that's, I don't know how we're going to experience on this virtual platform something that they can experience in person on the ground. I just don't know how to do it. I'm still looking for it. You know, but there is an opportunity. And I know that sometimes you can't find a place of true worship. I know. I mean, it's people, some people are frustrated. You can't find a real good place. Well, maybe we got to pray. You know, we need revival in our cities, in our churches, and so on and so forth. You know, praise the Lord. I mean, we're not here to try to replace any of that. This is a ministry by itself. It's a different thing. You know, but you go into the house of the Lord, gather around to a few folks, see if you can experience something new. Praise God. And one day, I think we're going to experience even on this platform, you know, because the Lord is good. You know, there will be such a moving one day, I believe, that will approximate something close to that. And who knows, maybe someday we'll gather in person. And maybe someday when you guys come to Arizona that are coming, maybe we'll experience something together. Who knows what the Lord will do. You know, but I believe that there is something that our soul must yearn for, something we got to cry out for. You know, and someday, who knows, in the future, we might call out a gathering where we go from online to in person. You know, who knows what the Lord would do? We never can tell, but why wait for that? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You can experience him. It might be in a limited fashion, but you can experience him in your own way too. You know, but when these people came together and got to singing with one mouth and one voice to the Lord, my goodness, the glory of God, he filled that house, boy. And the ministers couldn't do it, you know. And that was a house that they built and they were trying to dedicate the thing. They couldn't do it. You know, they couldn't stand there. The glory of God. God can just consume the place. You know, when we set things right, even when they brought their sacrifice to the altar in those days, if everything was done right, first you have to put the stones in order. Then you have to put the wood in order and everything. If everything is done right, the fire of the Lord come down and lick off the thing. But see, everything has to be set in order. So, what is missing in our lives today? That fire, the hunger, that thirst, you know. And, well, you say, well, you know, who then can, you know, I mean, I'm doing everything I can, but still, well, you keep doing. It's just like the man that kept coming, you know, said, look, every time I try to get in there, somebody gets in ahead of me in John chapter 5. But the man kept coming. Well, you keep doing what you're doing. Who knows? But today may be the day of that visitation for you. You never know, you know. And don't give up or give in just because say, well, you know, I have not experienced that power and that fire that they're talking about, but I keep going and I keep coming. Well, you will. Praise God. In due season, if you don't faint, the Lord, he will bring that dew of heaven. Remember that message, do, do, and do. But we must not faint. Keep on doing, keep on yearning and thirsting after God. Praise the Lord. Well, that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. And we're calling, this is a call for us to come back and get back to the place where your soul is yearning and thirsting and crying out for God like never before. Where your very flesh, you know, until you've eaten the word of God and until you soaked in the presence, you know, your flesh goes through a withdrawal. You can't. Psalmist, he couldn't do it. He, 7 times a day, he had to get back in that presence of God. Because, you know, he would go into withdrawal. Spiritually, he would say, look, I need God. I need some of that fire again. He didn't wait once a week kind of thing. Sunday medicine or whatever we called it when I was a young man back in the day. And there are some folks that are still like that today. Sunday medicine. We only gather together. We think of the house of God once on Sundays. And after that, the whole week, nobody thinks about it. Call for prayer? Nope. No. Call for fellowship? No. On Sunday, we'll dress up, we'll go. Well, that may be good for some. But that can only get us this far or so far. The devil is working overtime, folks. The devil doesn't do Sunday medicine. He never quits, never gives up. If you beat him up, he'll go for a season and he'll come right back. And when he comes back, he sees that you're careless. He'll go back and find some more 7 wicked ones. Come back and make the place twice worse than it was before. Jesus has taught these things. You know, so likewise, we never should take a break from his presence. You know, the Lord, he never took a break. Jesus never did, you know, from the presence of the Lord. You know, but the people of God, we need to learn how Jesus did it. And Jesus said, look, my Father is always working, you know, and he's working to this day. So I'm working too in John chapter 5. You know, they accused him of doing, you know, sometimes some of these incredible things that Jesus did in the Bible were incredible to us, not to him. You know, it's a normal thing to him. You know, but, you know, like the man 38 years of infirmity, someone born 40 years blind and so forth. Many of those things sometimes happened on the Sabbath days. Jesus didn't care that it was Sabbath day. You know, he need to heal somebody, he'll heal it. Sabbath or not. You know, but the religious leaders, they didn't like it at all. If he did it on Sabbath, they said to the people, look, there are 6 days, you know, that you can be healed. Leave the Sabbath alone. Don't carry your bed, because if you are healed, you have to carry your bed. See, and you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. You know, so the man that was healed, you know, and he had to carry his bed. So yeah, that's work. He can't do it. So he come. You know, these other days and be healed. On the Sabbath day, you don't do it. And Jesus said, look at them, said, the wickedness of your hearts. And here's what Jesus told them in John chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, look, my Father walketh until now, and so I walk. God never took a break. There's no such thing with God on Sabbath day and so forth. You know, he said he's still walking. You know, some people said, well, the Lord was tired, so he took a break. No, he did take a break, but it wasn't because he was tired. He handed things over to Adam. You know, he said, well, Adam is here. We're all good. Now I can sit back, relax, and watch the show. The man he's got this. But the man didn't get it, and he didn't have it. So the Lord stepped back in. Hallelujah. You know, now, once we got it, then, you know, well, yeah. Maybe the Lord, he can chill. And say, well, they got this. That's what Jesus did when he went in the boat. He said, well, disciples got this. You know, so he went and chilled in the back. But it turned out that they didn't have it. And he was disappointed. So Jesus said to this, read this verse and ponder about it if you've never read it or never thought about what it might mean. You know, they said, you know, look, not only did this man doing all this stuff, you know, is even doing it on the Sabbath day. So therefore they try to slay him and persecute him because he did these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them in John 5 and 17. He said, my Father walketh hitherto. In other words, up till now, my Father is still working. Some of you that thought that God took a break and he's finished. He said, look, up till now, my father is still working, and so I work. When he shows me something, someone that needs to be healed, remember, the son can do nothing except what the father shows him. The father does it, he's seen it, and he carries it out. Hallelujah. You know, so we need to be like that. Let's not take a break. Never from the present. You can take physical break. We've talked about that. But even when you take physical break, it's actually getting more into his presence. That's what it is. Mark, you know, I mean, Jesus told them, look, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Well, when you are resting, you're getting back into his presence. Be still and know that I am God. So you're never taken away from a break from his presence. Mark 6 and 31 talks about that. But it's a break from all the hustle and bustle, but never from his presence. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to leave it there today for today, and I'm going to pray over the room. Enough said, and we have the encouragement, the admonition, the exhortation, and even perhaps the rebuke. It's all packaged in one for us to examine ourselves and get that fire back in our bones to cry out for God. I know we all have to do and deal with these things that we have to deal with. But yeah, Enoch walked with God. You know. And isn't this platform called Walking with God after all? Well, absolutely. In the book of Genesis chapter 5, we see that Enoch, he walked with God. Hallelujah. And during his days of walking with God, he was having sons and daughters. But yet, he walked with God. 300 years, he walked with God. His sons and daughters, the fact that he had children, didn't bother him at all. He still had a family life to live. You can read it in Genesis 5, 21 to 24. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. During this walk with God, he had a family to deal with. That didn't prevent him from doing anything with the Lord. Praise God. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, but God took him. Now that's a man that knew how to do it. You know, family, sons and daughters, wife, walk, that could not prevent him. May the Lord also grant us that kind of passion and determination and being all in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray over the room. Father, I thank you, Lord, for we have delivered your word today. Thy word was a fire in my bones. Jeremiah said, and the disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us when we heard that word along the way? Well, I pray that this fire will burn the hearts of the people, not just while we are in this room, but even when we leave this room and go out to whatever it is we're going to do today, let the fire burn. Hallelujah. And when you find that fire is going out, come back tomorrow and get some more fire in your bones. It's daily fire. A daily portion with the Lord. Give us this day our daily spiritual bread. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I pray for everyone that's within the sound of my voice, both now and later by reason or virtue of the replays, that there will be a holy ambition stirred up within our hearts in the name of Jesus. So seek after the Lord. So seek him. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. May the Lord grant us that grace, that passion, to follow hard after the Lord, even as a heart panted for the water brooks. Let our thirsty heart. A thirsty heart, Lord, fill it. Take my cup and fill it up, Lord. Come and fill this hungry soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I lift up my cup, Lord, the song says. I lift it up, Lord. Come and feel Miss Longing Heart with your presence. That's my version of it. Come and fill my thirsty heart with the presence of all. Bread of heaven, a living fountain of water. Let me eat until I thirst no more. Let me eat until I hungry no more. Let me drink until I thirst no more. Take my cup, Lord, as I lift it up, Lord, and fill it, O Lord. My soul thirsted for thee. Fill my heart, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.